If you guys brought your Bibles, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 12 today, continuing our walk through Matthew. And in Matthew 12, we see an instance where Jesus is questioned about the Sabbath. And while the Sabbath is really what instigated this moment in the Bible, the idea here is about the law, and it's about God's law. And Jesus does a really great job at simplifying it for everyone to understand. And we're going to see that today. And really what it comes down to is works and what you have to do and what you don't have to do. And the way God's law interacts with us. And whenever I think about works, I think about chores. You guys had chores when you were kids? Yeah? We don't do chores at my house anymore. I tell the kids to do chores, and then they come in like, oh, I'm dying, and I live with my mother-in-law. She's like, oh, let them be. So nothing gets done. When I was a kid, I think we worked 10 hours a day every day. I'm not joking. She would, and it's my mom, only her dad was out just tooling around in the shop, but she would come up with these crazy ideas for us to do. And we were blistered and bleeding. And one day I'm talking to my mom, and she tells me, you know, a list of 20 items to do. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I start working on it, and she comes back, and the list is, like, down to 15. And I start thinking, she forgot 5. So I say, hey, Mom, I'm having trouble remembering what you asked me to do. Could you just real quick into this recorder tell me what I have to do today? And she says, okay. And she comes up with 12. And I'm thinking, yes. So I get all my chores done, and my mom comes back, and she says, well, you didn't, you know, clean the tub and wash the car and groom the dog or whatever it was. And I said, oh, let me check real quick. And I played the recording back for her. And that started a dangerous time in my life. For a while it started out as pretty fun, but we would try and one-up each other, right? I would find all the loopholes that she would give me the chores, and then she would start making contracts. I'm not joking. She had papers, and you had to, like, check off what you did and sign it at the bottom. It was, like, working already. In the end, the energy we spent trying to outmaneuver each other was less energy than it would have been to do the stupid chore, right? That's the system of works that we're up against. And that's what the mentality I want you to keep when we're going forward with this section in Scripture, because they would come up with all these things, and it was so hard. And so we see right before in 11, he says, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Because the religious system of the day was so hard to keep track of. There were so many ins and outs and loopholes, and by the time people were done resting on the Sabbath, they needed a rest from the Sabbath. So, let's read Matthew 12, 1 through 8, real quick. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. So Jesus and his disciples are walking, and as they walk, they're hungry, and so they're picking grain off, and they're eating this grain. And in the Sabbath, it's the day of the Sabbath, right? And so the Pharisees are out there, and I don't know why the Pharisees are hiding in the grain fields watching this, but they are. And they come up to him and they say, "You guys are breaking the Sabbath." And I think it's important to try and figure out why they thought that. Because as I look through my Bible, I can't see anything that would indicate that they did anything wrong, right? So what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a day of rest. It means to cease. You just don't work. And there was a Sabbath in the week, and there was a Sabbath every 7 years. You let the fields cease work, right? And every 7 days, you ceased work. Your donkey ceased work. Your people ceased work. Everybody ceased work. So that's what the Sabbath is. And if we look back and we find where the Sabbath comes from, the first mention that we have of Sabbath is in Exodus, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy," right? It has roots all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, when God created the world, and then he rested on the seventh day. But it wasn't until later, until Mosaic law, that we see this command to keep the Sabbath holy. And so, really, if we looked it up in Exodus 20, Exodus 28 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do not do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is in your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them, and the rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he hallowed it." So this is where we see that they can't work on the Sabbath. But what Jesus' disciples did doesn't seem to me to cross any of those boundaries, right? They weren't working, they were picking grain, they weren't making their donkey do it, they weren't threshing, they weren't doing anything really outlandish. But for some reason, the Jewish leaders of the time said, "This is breaking the law." And we don't know why. In fact, if you read your Bible cover to cover, you will not discover why. So what happened is, Jewish leaders of the time would add to the law. There's this book called the Talmud, and it's basically the rabbinic laws that they added, and it's huge. I'm telling you, if you looked in and you got a Talmud, it's that big. In the Talmud, there's two sections that have to do with what you're allowed to do on the Sabbath and what you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath. One of those is 24 chapters long. And it's the most outlandish, specific, ridiculous things you could ever imagine. They have a rule about how far you're allowed to walk. You're allowed to walk 3,000 feet away from your house. That was it. However, fun fact, if the day before the Sabbath you went and set food out somewhere, you could walk to that food. That would become, "Hey, Aunt Kathy." You could, the day before Sabbath, you could go set food somewhere. And if that food was within 3,000 paces, you could walk to that food, and that would become your new home, and it would reset your count. So then you could go 3,000 more places. Also, if you went by an alley and you had a rope set up, and you could walk into that rope or a board or a wire or something in the way to kind of give it a doorway feel, that could be your home, and you could reset your steps again, right? So that's a fun thing. They had rules about what you could lift. You could only lift something that weighed as much as a dry fig. You could only pick it up in a public place and put it down in a private place, or pick it up in a private place and put it down in a public place. You couldn't pick it up in public and put it down in public, or private to private, right? You couldn't do that. You couldn't throw something in the air and catch it in the opposite hand. They had these weird terms where if a space was legally free or if a space was wide, and one commentator says, a rabbi spent 2.5 years trying to figure out in one chapter all the rules that had to do with Sabbath. 2.5 years in one chapter of 24 chapters in two sections of the Talmud. It was absolutely insane. even though it weighed less than a dried fig, a tailor couldn't carry a needle because that was his job. A student or a teacher couldn't carry a pen. You couldn't light a candle. You couldn't pour warm water into cold water, but you could pour cold water into warm water. If you took a bath, you're in trouble because you're not allowed to on the Sabbath. Because if you got in the bath and you got out of the bath and the water washed your floor, you're guilty of washing the floor. There was rules on you couldn't sell anything, you couldn't buy anything, you couldn't cook anything, you couldn't look in a mirror, you couldn't carry anything, you couldn't spit, you couldn't blow. You couldn't drag a chair across the dirt because it would leave furrows in the ground. You couldn't wear your false teeth because they would weigh more than a dried fig. You would be carrying a burden. Women weren't allowed to wear jewelry unless it weighed less than a dried fig. The whole system was insane. And so by the time Sabbath was over, everyone was just tired because they had to think, what am I allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do? And we read Exodus, and you're going to be put to death if you break the Sabbath. So it was just this huge stress ball of what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do, and it was just a pain in the neck. It was just awful. That's why right before we're talking about this, Jesus says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, because the Pharisees would put these such heavy burdens on people that they couldn't even spend Sabbath thinking about God. They had to think about what they were and weren't allowed to do. It was a huge burden for everybody. So the disciples are picking grain, which isn't against the law. In Deuteronomy, we see that the Lord made a provision for the traveler, that if they're walking along and they're next to a field, they're allowed to take in somebody's field and eat some of the grain. That's in Deuteronomy. So it wasn't the fact that they were stealing, but what they did is they would take this grain, they would pull it off, they would hold it in their hand, and they would roll it, and then they would kind of toss it up, and all the chaff would kind of get caught in the wind, and they'd bring it, and then they would just eat it like corn nuts or whatever. What they got in trouble for, what they were accused of, was reaping by taking it, sifting, threshing, grinding, and when they were throwing it up, they were winnowing. Literally, the Pharisees were trying to throw the book. Everything that was in the book, they were trying to hit them with. They said, listen to all these rules that they're breaking. And so Jesus comes back with a really great answer. And we'll see this throughout other sections in Matthew, but he simplifies the law, right? Which is such a great thing. I don't know how many times growing up I was like, man, this Bible is so huge and I'm never going to understand it. It's really simple, guys. And Jesus is about to explain to us the entire law in this tiny paragraph. Later, and we'll read this too, he's going to explain the entire law in like a sentence. So, Jesus' answer, and this is funny, he said to them, have you not read? That's got to chafe. Haven't you read this? You guys are dumb, right? And they think, read it, dude, we wrote it. Of course we've read it. So he says, well, let's look at this. Let's look at what we've read. So he says, haven't you read what David did? And now bringing David into it is going to be kind of a bummer because David's the man, right? David is the man after God's own heart. He's the great king. He's the one who built it, right? So he says, David did this. David went in to the tabernacle and he ate the showbread. And that was not legal. And we see this story okay, there it is. 1 Samuel 21. And he goes, and Jesus gives him, and this is the start of three biblical examples of what the Sabbath really is about, right? And the first one is, Jesus is going to say, God's law, or the Sabbath, it doesn't go against sustenance. When you go through the Bible, you won't find a law that's going to go against man meeting man's physical needs. So sustenance is what we're going to talk about here. Second one, he says, God's law will never go against serving God. And then the third example is God's law will never go against showing mercy. Those three things. And he's going to give examples for all of them. But he says, God's law is perfect, but it's never going to go against your sustenance. It's never going to go against serving God, and it's never going to go against showing mercy. And so the first example is sustenance. He says David went into the tabernacle. So if we recap on the story here, David is running from Saul, and he and his men are hungry. And so they go into the tabernacle, and they ask to eat the showbread. The showbread are these giant loaves of bread that were left out, and they were to show that the Lord, the living bread, is with us all the time. And so if all week long, the showbread would be out, and then at the end of the week, they would bake new bread, and then the priests got to eat the old showbread. And so David goes in, and says, man, we're hungry. So the priest gives him the showbread. Wasn't legal, but there was not a problem. And the Pharisees also wouldn't say there was a problem, because then they would be talking bad about David, and they didn't want to do that. So he says, listen, David ate the showbread. David knew that the law of God would never go against meeting his needs, right? The same story is written in Mark chapter 2. And in that section, Jesus adds this really great phrase to this. He says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath is here to help meet man's needs. The Sabbath is here for us, guys. We're not here to serve the Sabbath. All throughout the Bible, the Lord gives us ways to make sure that our physical needs are met. As they wandered through the wilderness and they had manna, they weren't allowed to keep it, right? Because they wanted to show that they trusted that God would give them manna the next day. So they're walking through the wilderness and they need food, and God puts manna down on the ground and they go and they collect it. If they kept that manna, it would rot. They would get maggots in it and it would get really nasty. So the idea was is they would collect the manna and then they would throw it out, and then the next day they would go get it again. And every day they would go get manna. However, to keep the Lord's Sabbath, the Lord provided them with a way to make sure their physical needs were met and to keep the Sabbath. Where there's a temptation, God's going to show us a way out of it. So what he did is this really great thing. For some magic reason, all the other manna 6 days a week would only last one day. But the manna that you collected before the Sabbath was enough, and it would last overnight to get you to the next day, right? Because God will not make laws that go against our physical need. We see very specifically that we're supposed to provide for our needs. In 1 Timothy, it says if we don't provide for our families, we're worse than pagans, guys. The Lord is concerned about this. Now, a caveat to this is where the two conflict is if you're ever trying to serve God and your physical needs are being threatened by the world, right? So I don't want you to think that we're supposed to be happy all the time and we're supposed to be fed all the time, because we see super duper clear in Romans 8, the world is out to get us, and the world is going to give us persecution and hardship and famine and sword and nakedness, right? So we are going to lack physical needs, but it's an indirect thing. It's because the world hates Jesus and therefore it's going to hate us, right? All things equal, if there was no problem like that, there would be no problem for us feeding ourselves or clothing ourselves or earning a wage. Those are all great and good things. Those are all things that are encouraged in the Bible. So God's law will not go against what we are needing to survive our sustenance. Second thing that we see, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So the second thing here is God's law is never going to prevent us from serving God, right? Jesus and his disciples are about God's work right now. They are out and they are doing the Lord's work. So why would they need to stop their Lord's work to do the Lord's work on this? It just doesn't make sense. And he's saying that. And he gives them this example in Numbers. If we go to Numbers 28, we see that the priests have to work on the Sabbath. The priests have to sacrifice on the Sabbath. They have to intercede for the people. In fact, they have to work harder on the Sabbath than any other day, because the Sabbath, they needed to sacrifice twice as much as normal. And it's really hard to sacrifice an animal and not work, right? You can't offer a live animal on an altar and burn it. Then you have to pick it up, you have to hold it down. To not do that, you have to kill it, you have to skin it, you have to do all the things. You have to light fires to do this stuff. So the priests, every time they're working on the Sabbath, they are breaking the Sabbath. And he says, but they're guiltless in it because the Sabbath doesn't override serving God. God's law will never override serving God. It's God's law. It's for God. So anytime we come up against something like that, we can never say, oh, I have to stop serving God so I can observe the Sabbath. It's asinine. We see in Isaiah 58 what Sabbath really is. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. The Sabbath is about being about God's work. It's saying, all the stuff that I would like to do, I would like to mow my lawn, I'd like to make some money, I'd like to do these things. He's saying, forget that and focus on what God wants. Forget your own pleasures and work doing God's work. That's what it is. So, God's law will never violate serving God. Back to Matthew 12. And we see this third point. God's law will not stop us from sustaining. God's law will not stop us from serving, and God's law will not stop us from showing mercy. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. This is from Hosea 6. Later, down here in 9 through 14, he illustrates this even better. He says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to that man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and he was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Acts 15, if you guys remember, they're this council, and they're trying to decide what to do with all these new Gentile believers. And some of the church was saying, the Gentiles need to become Jews first. And Peter says, why would we put that burden on them when we could not fulfill it ourselves, right? Why would we continue to lay heavy burdens of works and ceremony that nobody has been able to attain since the start of creation? And now we want to tell Gentiles who are just coming into the faith that they have to follow that same thing. He said, it's ridiculous. We cannot do that. Micah 6, and Micah 6, 8 is an excellent verse to memorize. But in Micah 6, they start talking about the different sacrifices that God might want. And he says, would I offer him 1,000 bulls? What if I offered him 10,000 rivers of olive oil, right? What if I offered God my firstborn son? He says, that's not what God wants. What does God want from you, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? God's law is always about showing mercy. The entire Bible is about that, right? When John sees Jesus for the first time, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The whole thing, guys, is about mercy. The works are important. We've seen it read in John and James. Faith without works is dead, right? But the works come out of love. John 15, the true vine, right? Jesus is about to be crucified in John 15. Judas has already left, and he's talking about what a true believer is. And he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And the branches only get power by being connected to the vine. A branch cannot bear fruit in itself. This fruit that he's talking about are good works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But just like a tree that has like a mango tree, let's say, has a branch, that branch doesn't have to try to produce mangoes. It's not like, I need a mango, I need a mango. It doesn't care. It's going to come naturally. It's what it does. Just like when we have the love of God going through us, this vine up into our branch, we will follow God's law by default. We don't need all of these crazy laws to say, well, you can't walk this far, and you can't spit, and you can't blow, and you can't light a fire. It doesn't matter. When you love God, you follow God's law. It just happens. It's a natural outpouring. It's like a tree that just produces fruit. And that branch cannot produce fruit on its own. We can't produce fruit on its own. But when we're connected, when we abide in Christ and Christ in us, then that fruit, that good works, comes out naturally. Matthew 22:37. One of my favorite verses proves all this. If you read Matthew 22:37, you will see that God's law will never stop us from fulfilling our needs. It will never stop us from serving God. And it will never stop us from helping other people. In fact, God's law is about it. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But these words right here, this next verse, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As you read your Bible, you could run it through this filter. Everything you read in it will fall into those two categories. Love the Lord your God or love people, right? All the commandments. You have the commandments that talk about loving God, and you have the commandments that talk about loving people. Can you lust after your neighbor's life? No, not if you want to love people, right? Can you profane God's name? No, not if you want to love God. It's all super easy. So when you're asking, hey, should I do this? You don't have to try and think of the 7,000 verses in Genesis through Leviticus. You can think, does it fall into one of these two categories? If I did this action, is it me loving God? If I did this action, is it me loving people, right? But really, in the end, when you love God, you have to ask yourself that less and less, because the more and more you love God, that stuff is just going to be natural. You might not struggle with rabbinic laws, right? I don't know how many of you guys have the Talmud on your mantle. Don't. If you have a mantle, you have a fireplace, throw it in. However, there are other systems of morality that exist in the world today. And I'm telling you, they might not be rabbinic law, but they're just as hard or harder to follow, right? You may come from a Catholic background and you don't know which saint to pray to if you want to sell your house, or which saint you want to pray to if you want to go on a walk or a trip, and you don't know how many Our Fathers or how many Hail Marys you need to say at any given time. If that's the case, and you're feeling weary from that, I've got the answer here for you. It's super easy. Love the Lord God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you need to know. If you're coming from another religion, and you're like, well, I haven't done my works, or I haven't gone out and done this mission or that thing, I have an answer for you. Right? It's super easy. You want rest? If you want to feel like you're not spinning your wheels and trying so hard to get nowhere, Jesus is the rest. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about the future rest that is coming, and that rest is here now. Or maybe you're an atheist. Sorry. and you follow the moral system of the world, you want to talk about confusing? I am telling you, the world's moral system is twice as confusing as the Talmud, because the world system changes all the time. We don't know what's moral today and what was moral yesterday. I don't want to get too political, but right now we can see in society how we treat women and how it's changed from in just my life. In my life, I was supposed to hold the door open for a woman. That's how I was raised, and so I would hold the door. I would pull out a chair. I don't do it as much anymore because I'm married, and my wife's like, why don't you ever hold the door? I'm sorry, babe. But that was a moral thing to do, and then it got to be where, no, that's not moral. They're just as good as a man, and if you hold the door for them, that's kind of an insult. You think I'm not strong enough to open a door? And so it became moral not to do that, right? And then it became moral to make sure that they could have any job that a man could have, but it's not moral to put them at the same standards, and so we would scale back the requirements for women and not for men, and it was moral that women should have their own place in sports. And today, it's moral that if men want to compete with women, they should be allowed to, right? That's one issue. How confusing is that? In my 40 years, it's changed 17 times. Guys, you think the Talmud is hard? Man, the world system of morality is just mind-boggling. That is hard to follow. And that's one issue. And maybe you think you're a maverick. You're like, I don't need no morals. I got my personal code. I am John Wayne, right? I have a code. I am telling you, your code has changed more times than you can remember. You used to think one thing, and now you do another thing. And it's all still in your code. There is one code, one super easy code. That will give you rest. And you can quit thinking about all that other junk. All the other, should I do this or should I not do this? And bite your nails. And am I going to heaven? Am I not going to heaven? I don't know. You'll get an ulcer for crying out loud. Come to Jesus because his yoke is easy. He will give you rest. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the ease, God, at which we can walk through this life in full confidence, say, I am not breaking the law because I love Jesus and I love other people right now. Help us, God, to go love other people by telling them about you this week. Help us to show that same kind of rest that these people in the world are so tired and they're so weary, God. Help us to let our love shine to them and that they can come to you as well. In your name we pray. Amen.